Jim Brogan joins us on the Triple H Radio Experience with Brogan Financial, host of More Living. Jim Brogan, it's always great to talk with you. Hope you are well.
I'm doing great, Halloran. How are you?
I'm great, and looking forward to learning a lot as you update us on the economy. Let's start with Congress and the debt ceiling. They are going back and forth on the debt ceiling. Just from an economic standpoint, what happens if, I believe they're going to raise the debt ceiling as they always have, but what happens if we default?
Well, I mean, a default would be, a longer-term default would be catastrophic, and that's why we won't default. I agree with you. I think this is an area, Halloran, where the process is really the thing to focus on, not the end result. You know, how do we get from point A to point B? You know, they're currently talking about passing a relief that would kick the can a further, you know, another month down the road and raise the debt ceiling. Who knows if that'll pass or not? But if they don't pass this, if they don't get this bill through, and we get closer to that June date when kind of the government would run out of money, I think markets will respond in a very, very volatile way as we approach that date, and then if we go beyond that date. But you're right. In the end, we know what they're going to do. They're going to raise the debt ceiling because, frankly, it would be catastrophic if they defaulted on debt.
Let's move now to talk about the banking situation, the banking meltdown. I think Janet Yellen was suggesting that maybe the shakeup in the banking sector would do the Fed's job for them. It would actually help to reset the economy. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it does do the Fed's job for them to a degree in terms of their efforts to try to slow down the economy. You know, that's what the Fed's been trying to do to fight inflation. Is this inflation is caused by a classic imbalance between supply and demand. And so by raising interest rates, the Fed has been attacking the demand side of that equation to reduce demand. And it filters through the economy in many, many different ways. So this banking crisis has kind of had the effect, the comparison that's been made is it'd be almost a similar economic impact of the Fed raising rates a half of a percent.
Is it doing that?
That's, I think, well, I don't know that we have enough data to know that. The market seem to be interpreting the data that it is going to do that, and the Fed will stop hiking rates and may even reverse and start lowering rates as soon as this summer. I personally don't think that's what's going to happen. But the Fed has said, Halloran, that what has happened in the banking sector is going to soften their need to increase rates. So, yes, I do think it makes an impact there. But I don't think it does all of the job for the Fed. I think that's probably a little overblown, and the Fed is probably still going to have to be very, very careful about how they manage this.
Do you think we avoid recession?
Boy, that just cuts right to it, doesn't it? I do not think we avoid recession. I don't know that. I think the real question is what type of a recession is it? You could almost argue, Halloran, we're currently in what I would call a rolling recession where you have different sectors of the economy that are recessed over time and they kind of roll through different sectors. But right now, we're not in a complete economic recession, or at least we don't think we are. But I don't think we're going to completely avoid it. The question is it a moderate recession? Is it a deep recession? Will the Fed overdo rate increases? You know, that's all yet to be determined. But, yes, I do think at some point we will be in recession.
Driving down the street looking at these bank billboards, and now I'm starting to see certificates of deposit. They're like 5.5%. There was, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, if you could get 1%, it was considered a big deal. So maybe we should talk about investment strategy given the realities of the marketplace. I'm sure you've noticed all of this as well. How do you strategize in this kind of economic environment?
I think you have to realize that there are a lot of ingredients in place for volatility. Now, you mentioned increasing rates. You know, Halloran, you can actually get a better yield on a two-month treasury than you can on a 10-year treasury.
Wow.
That's just insane. And so that's an expectation that rates, you know, you mentioned 5.5% rate. Now, that's a teaser rate a local bank is going to be offering. National banks are offering 4.9 for a year, 4.95. But that 5.5 is going to be for probably 10 or 11 months usually. If you go out and buy a CD for 5 years, you're going to be down under 4.5%. Now, I know that's still a lot higher than it was a year and a half ago. But it's when the market starts pricing rates with an expectation that rates are going to be lower in the future, and that's what they're doing. They're pricing interest rates with an expectation that rates will be lower in the future, and that is indicating an expectation that we will have some sort of a recession and pullback in economic growth.
Now let's talk about electric vehicles for a hot second here. Looking at some of the research, it's heating up. What does this suggest for U.S. automakers? And have you thought about electric vehicle infrastructure?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any way we're going to get to the goal, to the destination that they want by 2030. You know, the EPA announced emission rules that they project will result in an EV market share of about 60% in 2030. I just don't see any. What do you think, Halloran? Do you think we could have the kind of infrastructure in place to support that type of EV product market share? I mean, how many issues have we heard over the last couple of years of energy breakdowns in Texas and in other areas of? Even here, we had rolling blackouts. They were short. But for that to happen in a TVA area was unheard of. So we already have all these energy challenges. I don't see the infrastructure in place even 7 years from now. And I anticipate there would be quite a few growing pains in trying to get there and quite a bit of movement of the goalposts, so if you will.
Consumer confidence. Surveys are out that says, you know, that say roughly that a big majority of the population does not have a positive view of the economy. That affects everything. Consumer confidence can change any and everything. Your thoughts on that before we wrap?
Yeah, that's a crucial thing. You're right. Consumer confidence affects whether people go out and spend money. It has huge economic implications in the short term. I would be careful with surveys, Halloran, that talk about consumer confidence and things like the stock market. Those are very, very often counterintuitive. The markets often do the exact opposite of what consumers would expect. So don't ever make investment decisions, in my opinion, based on consumer confidence. But it does give us an eye to economic output and where we may be headed. Also, with consumer confidence, Haller, and I'll say that's a huge issue in this banking crisis we're in right now. And that, I think, is what the federal government and the Fed is trying to address with a lot of their policies, is they're trying to prevent a massive run on the banks, because banks just do not have the capital in place to support a massive run on the bank. Even healthy banks don't have enough capital on hand. And so in that instance, consumer confidence is critical. So, when we look at economic impact, it's very, very important. Be careful you don't make investment decisions based on consumer confidence.
Jim Brogan has great courses. He has a great radio show on Saturday mornings. Always has his finger on the pulse of the local and national economy. Jim Brogan, you can get more details at broganfinancial.com. Always a pleasure to speak with you, sir.
Thank you, Haller, and have a blessed afternoon.